Our gospel reading this morning is from the book of Mark. Forces that would bring death and disease have taken a hold of a man, yet they recognize Jesus and know what his power means for them. Jesus commands these forces to leave, and people are amazed by his authority. The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 21.
Glory to you, O Lord.
They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at Jesus' teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. I don't know if you are as excited as I am, but the season has opened. It is off, it is running, and it is great. I'm talking about the political season. It started there in Iowa 10 days ago or so as the caucuses took place. No sooner had the votes been counted and the candidates and the media were on their way to New Hampshire and then South Carolina and then our TVs, our newspapers, and all of social media together was filled endlessly, relentlessly, always with what is going on politically. And just when we thought everything was going to be smooth sailing in North Dakota, the governor announces on Monday that he's not seeking a third term, and that means that Kelly Armstrong announced that he is going to run for the governor's office, which opens up the House seat. Are you excited yet? So I got to tell you, I'm kind of a political junkie. I love following it. I love thinking about politics, and I like being engaged in what's going on. But the truth is, sometimes it's hard to figure out who's telling the truth. What can you believe? So today, a politician can give a speech, and within hours on social media, somebody has come out with a fact checker, telling you what they believe is true, what they believe is spin, and what they believe is make-believe. And then I ask myself, do the fact-checkers have their own agenda? Are they really just checking the facts? Or are they putting their own thoughts into it as well? What can you believe? What can you trust? And here comes the big word. What has authority? That's the question that is at the center of the text today from the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus is teaching, and people immediately identify that his kind of teaching is different from what the scribes had done. He teaches, they say, as one with authority. For those of us who are able to open the Bible and read the story, we were told some things in the very first verse of the very first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. That verse is this: the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In that very short sentence, we learn three things. That this book, this 16-chapter book, is going to be good news about Jesus the Christ, and I throw "the" in there on purpose, because Christ is not a surname, like Narum is my surname. Christ is a title. This is Jesus, the Anointed One, Jesus, the Messiah. And who is this one? This one, this anointed Messiah, who's been promised since the prophets, the good Jewish people have been waiting for all the way back to David? He is the Son of God. We learn those three things in the very first verse of the very first chapter, so that we understand that this one is different. He has authority. But I still would love to have been there, to have been able to see what is different about his teaching, the way he invites in, the way he leads. Our reading this day is bookended with that word authority. We have authority in the beginning about the way he teaches. Then we have the story of the man consumed by unclean spirits. Jesus casts them out, and the people are amazed, and they say, he has authority, even over unclean spirits. Authority. Jesus has that in the world, and the call is, what does it look like for Jesus to have authority in our lives, in what we do, in who we are? So I'm certain that each and every one of you, at least once a week or so, opens up our congregational constitution and does a little bit of... That was sarcasm. But in the constitution, it says that the source and norm, the authoritative source and norm for our congregation is the Word of God, is Holy Scripture. So what does that mean for us together, that the Word of God is the source and norm of our life together? There's a meme out there that says something like this: the Bible says it, I believe it, end of story. It's a cute little meme. But I don't think it's that simple. Because the Bible is not one book. The Bible is a collection of multiple books written over thousands of years, written by different people from different perspectives. Some of it is history, some of it is poetry, some of it is letters between peoples. And sometimes you need to look in multiple places within the Bible to try to understand what we are called to as people of faith. It's not as simple as saying, the Bible says it, I believe it, end of story. In confirmation a couple of weeks ago, one of the main points was that God gave us a brain for us to think and to wrestle. And to wrestle with Scripture. That's what good, faithful people do. To try to understand how that Scripture has authority in our lives. And the truth is, that's what's happening in the reading from 1 Corinthians. The overarching issue that Paul is talking about is the first commandment: you shall have no other gods before me. But what does that look like? What does it look like to have a false god, to worship it, to fall into idolatry? The presenting issue that's happening in 1 Corinthians is whether or not you should be eating meat. So here's the deal. In Corinth, there were temples to other gods, small g, what we would call false gods. And in those temples, people would bring sheep or goats or other animals, and they would sacrifice them as a way of worshiping and honoring this false god. And after the sacrifice happened, the meat didn't just go to waste. People would gather it, they would eat it. Some of it would find its way to the marketplace. And in the marketplace, you weren't certain what had been sacrificed to an idol somewhere and what hadn't. There were no labels in the day that said, sacrifice free meat. You just had to try to figure it out. And for some people in Corinth, it led to division. And here's what Paul says. If you eat meat sacrificed to an idol, it really doesn't matter because we all know that there is only one God. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, the one worshipped by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So if it's been sacrificed to an idol, it doesn't matter because those idols don't exist. There's only one God. But Paul doesn't stop there. Paul goes on to say, you are free, but you have to be responsible with your freedom. So if your eating meat sacrificed to an idol would cause a brother or sister to stumble, to lose faith, well then, I'll never eat meat, Paul says. Paul takes the simple issue of idolatry and brings it into his day. Now, I don't know about you. It's not an issue for me whether to eat meat or not, because I worry about idolatry and if it's been sacrificed to an idol, right? That's not pertinent today. But what is pertinent today is how do we act with our freedom that comes from Christ so that it doesn't cause another person to stumble. That is a real issue. Just because we are free doesn't mean that we can do anything. Paul would call us to be subject to one another, to care for one another in deep, deep ways. And the truth is, trying to figure out how faith calls us to live and act isn't always easy. It takes wrestling. It takes thinking. It takes the ability to be together and to talk with one another and to pray with one another and to try to figure this out together. That's why there are a variety of Bible study opportunities where we don't just study the Bible for our own knowledge, but to try to understand how it can impact our daily life. That's why we provide lots of different possibilities for daily devotionals that are out there on the table, whether it's the quarterly devotion, Christ in Our Home, or the weekly devotion from Faith, Inc. that is out there available to help us think about Scripture's authority on a daily basis. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are invited to think deeply about Jesus' love for us and for our neighbor, and how we, by Scripture, are called to care for one another. Thanks be to God. Amen.